It now gives me great pleasure to announce our speaker for tonight, Roberts.
Oh, beautiful. Okay.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. My name's Robert, and I am an alcoholic. And really good to be here tonight. You know, I want to really thank Karen and Dareth. You know, we spent a couple of weeks bouncing around trying to figure it out, and it worked out just right. Everything worked out just the way it's supposed to be. And my sobriety date is November 14th, 1994. I walked in, beat up. King Alcohol won. King Alcohol had taken me down, and I didn't know what to do about it. And I walked in, I met a man day one, and he said, "You want to lead the meeting?" I go, "Sure, what's that?" And he goes, "Never mind, go sit down." After the meeting, he walks up to me and he says, "You know what, I'm going to be your temporary sponsor." I said, "Okay, sure. What's that?" He goes, "Just keep coming back." He goes, "Get a big book and read the first 164 pages and we'll talk about it." Okay. I keep coming back. I walked in and I met a group of drunks that were just like me. See, I'm third generation drunks. You know, my mama was a honky-tonking little thing. She was too much. She loved to party. And, you know, her dad loved to party. You know, her dad and my grandma had 18 kids. So just to give you an idea how much they liked to party. And then when I came along, she was kind of surprised. So she put her hand out there and told a gentleman by the name of Chuck Tyler that she was going to have a baby. And so Chuck, he got all excited and gave me his dad's name. So that's where I got Robert Tyler. You know, I'm kind of like a redneck Mexican. You know, there's a lot to learn about that. You're going to find out. You know, I grew up with them in the beginning. I was about 5 years old, and I went with Chuck. Me and him took off, and we went for a ride. And he stopped at the store, and he bought a Coke for me, and I bought a Coke for him. And he bought me a candy, and then we went on, and then he parked. He said, "I'll be right back," you know, and took off. And so while he was gone, he was doing an interview. It lasted too long. And I was sitting in the car, and I was just a little kid, and I drank my Coke, and then I ate my candy. I'm sitting there waiting for him, and he didn't show. So I said, "Well, I got kind of thirsty, just a little boy." So, well, he had a Coke. I remember his Coke, and he had it in a bound bag underneath the seat. So I pulled that sucker out, started drinking it. What I didn't know, what I found out, is it was Thunderbird. Okay. And by the time he got to the car, he found me just laid out. I was just done. And he's like, "Oh, shoot, now I gotta get this kid home. I gotta explain to his mom, blah, blah, blah," everything else. And we both got in a lot of trouble. And so that's how it got started. And it started really quick from that day on. Okay. Started really quick. When I was 7, Chuck died from cirrhosis of the liver. See, he liked drinking moonshine. They all drinking a lot of the old hard stuff. He was from Anoka, from Muskogee, so that's what they did back there. You know, they loved stills and different things back in those, you know, mid-50s, 40s. And so he died and left me in charge. And I didn't know what to do. I'm a little kid, just running and gunning a little bit. And school didn't know what to do. School was really trying to figure out what the heck to do with Robert. You know, so they made a decision, and they put me in a short bus. You know those little short buses? You know, they put me in one of those little short buses and put me in a little class. There was only 12 kids. There was three teachers in this class, and there's only 12 kids. You know, but we got a lot of attention. And so we went on like that for a few years. And by the time I was getting ready to go into seventh grade, I started to discover America. I had, I was telling Kim, I got a hold of a tape. It was a tape, an old tape. You remember those? And it was Led Zeppelin. No, and that was the beginning of the end for me. I discovered rock and roll. I discovered a lot of things. And I walked away from school. Seventh grade, said, I'm done. I'm out of here. And I was going to run with it. And I did pretty good because I was a big kid. And I just started running. You know, when I was 14, turning 15, bunch of my friends said, hey, man, just you can go in there and get us some alcohol. And I said, I don't know. And they go, yeah, just smoke a cigarette and they'll think you're a dude. And so, you sure? And they go, yeah. So they gave me a cigarette. I lit it up. I couldn't smoke yet, but I'm taking this cigarette, you know. I go in there, and sure as shit, they sold it to me. That became our store because they gave me credit, too, you know. And so I'd only got, you know, all the alcohol we needed, I got it on credit. If I wanted it, I could do it. And so we just started partying like that, you know, in the beginning. And back then, they didn't have all these water slides and all these things, but we're kids. I have a little 62 Valiant. I'm using it to shuttle everybody around. We're drinking and doing all kinds of crazy things. Everything else. And our kind of fun was grabbing a lot of alcohol. Jack Daniels was our friend. We nailed Jack Daniels. And a bunch of alcohol, booze, beer, you name it, girls. And we go to this dam. It was called Elmaden Dam in San Jose. We'd go to this dam and we'd get there and we'd just get all drunk and crazy. And then when we got brave enough, we'd slide down the spillway, you know, because it had some green slime on it. And yeah. You could just slide like crazy. You get down to the bottom and the name of the game was to see how far you could skid. Mm-hmm. And then every once in a while, somebody would get crazy and they'd start bouncing off the sides, you know, and when they got to the bottom, they'd start screaming. So we'd have to go down there and give them some Jack Daniels to kill the pain. We carried Dr. Jock around for a long time. You know, that was how we ran. That's just what we did. And then by the time I was in my late teens, I found myself, a little girl walks up to me and she goes, I am going to have a baby. And I go, holy cow. How'd that happen? She goes, look at me. So I had my daughter when I was 18. My daughter was my life. My daughter was everything to me. And I didn't want my daughter to see that side of the family. See, it was three generations of drunks and we were running hard. I didn't want her to see the dark side that we were running. So I was trying to keep her on a straight and narrow path. And a few years went by and she got a little brother. And that was my son. And he tried to keep him over there, you know. I'm running and gunning, I'm trying to work, I'm trying to get a career, I'm trying to learn what a trade was, and I wanted to be an electrician, and I was gonna work towards that. It was gonna take me a while because I didn't have a high school diploma. I didn't have an education. But what I did do is what they call in the trades, OJT, on-the-job training. Yeah. And I grabbed a couple of journeymen who would teach me the trade. And they showed me the trade. And I went on like that for a while, learning the trade long enough to where I was able to, you know, get a certificate, get an apprenticeship, go through the whole thing. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, we were the bad boys of the group, you know. They needed us to do the things that nobody else wanted to do. They needed us to go into dark places, and with enough alcohol and everything else on the streets, we would go there without thinking about it. We'd go take care of business. Just show me the money. Just show me the money. That's all I want. And so we did that until it stopped working. You know, we did that until it stopped working. And I had somehow learned how to read and enough to get an apprenticeship and go through the thing and, you know, learn all the things that you have to do to be an electrician and pass all the tests. And I'm going lickety-split, and I'm in my, I did a geographic in when I was 29, 27. It was back in 85. I did a geographic to the Central Coast because San Jose was the problem. See, I lived in San Jose my whole life, and San Jose was the problem. So I did a geographic in 85, and I came to the Central Coast, and I got a job over here for PG&E, and I kept on running. And now I got to be careful because now they're checking me out, so I got to, you know, I got to let go of some of the things that I was doing and focus on alcohol. And focus on, that was it. You know, they don't test for alcohol. And so alcohol had started to double and triple. I continued to do this for another 10 years. By the time the 10 years came, I was 37 when I got a phone call, and my mom was, Chuck had already died, and now she was about to check out. You know, she was 51, and King Alcohol was about to take her. And so I went and went to the hospital to go see my mom, you know, and I walked in and I lost it. I lost it right there in the hospital. And I said, you pull her off this machine right now. You know, this is not how my mama wanted to live. And I fought like hell right there in front of everybody. All her brothers and sisters, bring it. Turn it off and everything else. And, you know, I was 37 years old. I got the plug pulled, and I looked at her, and she changed her mind. And I went, too late, Mom. You got to go. Too late. You know, you got to go. And I sat there and held her hand for 18 hours. And it was a hard game. I don't wish that on anybody. At the end of the 18 hours, the nurse told me it's over. And I got up, and I walked out kind of in a daze. And I looked across the street, and there was a bar. And I walked in that bar, I ordered a drink, I sat down, and I was at the end of the bar just sitting there. You know, what the hell just happened? You know, and my run started. My last run started. And it was gonna go hard for the next 2 years. You know, for the next 2 years, I ran hard. You know, I was, you know, I had a Harley. I ran like a Harley, crazy man. I would go, the family would just, you know, I go, I'll be right back. And they go, okay. Well, that meant maybe a day or two, maybe three. You know, I'd end up out of state. I'd end up, I don't know where. And it was so innocent. It was so innocent. I was drinking like a gentleman. I'd get up in the morning, and I'd have Bloody Marys. And the bartender knew, make it extra thick on vodka and a little bit of tomato juice and a few vegetables, you know, because, you know, I got to have my veggies. Mm-hmm. And it would start like that. And then I would switch over to screwdrivers, you know, because I need my orange juice. So I'm learning how to drink like a gentleman. And then afternoon, I got, you know, cranberry juice. So it's vodka and cranberry juice. You know, for the liver, you know, all that stuff. And I'm drinking like a gentleman, and all it's I'm going down hard. I'm going down hard, and then in the afternoon I would have a little wine, just to kill the fat, you know. And then I gotta go get a cigarette. I'll be right back. I'm gonna go get me a cigarette. I'll be right back. And everything else, and then it would be 2 days later. I'd get on a roll and I wouldn't stop. I couldn't stop. Once I got started, once I turned that trigger, life was on a whole different game. And I went like that until, you know, I was 39. It was 1994. early on, I had a new Harley, badass Harley. I was running hard. It was my bar hopper. You know, this thing it had a magnet on it, and it'd go from bar to bar to bar to bar, and that's how I ran. You know, and I was just, you know, crazy like that. I got a phone call at work, and my son, he was a senior in high school. He was really good. He was smart. He was writing a book. And he was doing all kinds of things, and he ended up in the hospital for alcohol poisoning. And I remembered Chuck, and I said, "No." And so I did everything I could for that little boy, you know. And so me and little Robert walked into Alcoholics Anonymous and went through detox, and I had to go through detox. And he went there to, you know, understand what was going on with Dad. And so me and him walked into Alcoholics Anonymous in the village of Royal Grundy. And so that's where we started. That's where our game started. And he lasted 6 months. Bad things happened. He didn't like the idea. You know, I couldn't read yet. You know, and they were telling me to read, and they were telling him to read. And he just said, "You know what? I can't do this, Dad." And I go, "What?" He goes, "When you get 17 and a half years in that program, we'll talk. Until then, I don't want to hear your shit." I go, "Okay." Now I got to learn about Alcoholics Anonymous. That's when I made the decision. That's when I did the steps. Okay, that man that I told you about that said he'd be my temporary sponsor, okay, I knew I was powerless over alcohol. My life was a mess. I knew that. That was a given. You know, I was running two lives, and I was doing a lot of crap. I had, I was drinking untold amounts of alcohol. I was smoking two packs a day. I was having anxiety attacks. I was, you know, going into depression. I was going, a lot. You know, and so I know from what I saw that Alcoholics Anonymous could restore me to sanity. That's my game. If you want to know, right now, I came to believe that Alcoholics Anonymous could restore me to sanity. 30 years later, I still believe in Alcoholics Anonymous 100%. You know, that's my life. That's my game. That's how I roll. You know, I made a decision. Step 3. You know, when I did the step 3 with my sponsor, I said, "Okay, dude." He goes, "What?" I go, "How do I know?" He goes, "How do you know what?" I go, "How do I know if it's my will or God's will?" And he looked at me and goes, "Dude, man, if you're drinking, that's your will. And if you're not drinking, that's God's will." "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah." I go, "Cool. I can roll with that. I can roll with that." He goes, "Yeah, that's it." Cool. So I, you know, that's how I started. You know, I came to believe Alcoholics Anonymous could restore me to sanity. Done deal. You know, I made a decision to learn everything I can about this disease. I had to find out. See, I walked away from God when I was 7 years old. And that was August 28th of 1962. I was 7 years old. I was burying my dad. And I was going to have to be the man of the house. You know, I said it was God that took my dad. And I blamed God from that day on. Now I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm about to take a fourth step, and I'm going to find out, and I'm going to have to find out, because I'm not talking to God. I'm not. You know, that's why I was having difficulty making that decision. You know, and so my sponsor helped me. We went through the book, and it says right there in the book, if you go page 64, now you're going to find out. I love this book. I love this book. You know, like I said, my home group is a Tuesday night big book study. You know, it's important to understand. On Tuesday nights, we read the big book, and we read paragraph after paragraph to newcomers, to people that don't know the book, to people that don't understand what happened to Bob, what happened to Bill. You know, Bill had 6 months sobriety when he was sitting at a bar, confused, desperate. He was about to cry because he's going to drink. I knew that feeling. I was in that spot. You know, I told you when my mom passed away. And he was about to cry, and he said, you know what? His sponsor, who was Evie Thatcher, told him, you know, the only way you can stay sober is to help another alcoholic. Back then, they didn't even have alcoholics. They just had drunks and rummies, you know. And so he got on the phone, and he started calling around, and he found a number, and they called, and he found this man. They said, come on over and talk to him. He went over there to talk to this guy, and it was Dr. Bob. And they sat down and they talked and they got sober. Okay. I needed to learn that and I needed to understand that and what that is. See, I'm a real alcoholic. I'm a real alcoholic. Therapy isn't going to do anything for me. Pour me another drink is what's going to happen. I have to realize I'm a real alcoholic. And what does a real alcoholic do when he's irritable and discontent? He works with another alcoholic. He helps another alcoholic. That's what I have to do on a daily basis. You know, I have to do it every day. Today, I do it every day. You know, today, I'm a DCM. What's a DCM? You know, what they say. You know, I had to learn how to be of service. You know, they made me a cigarette boy. And what's a cigarette boy? And they go, cigarette boy goes outside and picks up all the cigarette butts. I go, what do you mean? Well, yeah, you got to go out there and pick up the cigarette butts. I go, well, tell them they all pick up their own cigarette butts. And he goes, they're not ready yet, Robert. They're not ready yet. You know, bring them in, get them a cup of coffee, and help them understand. And until then, pick up the cigarette butts. I had to learn how to do that, you know. Then I had to learn how to put the cream and the sugars that you see the people doing every day. You know, I had to learn that. You know? And then one day they made me a secretary. And I was a badass secretary. I was really proud of my secretary. And I was doing that for a few years until one day the old timers, you know, were giving me a lot of shit. And the elders said, Robert, you know, because there's a difference in my world between an elder and an old timer. Okay? And the book will talk to you about it. And if you want to know, you can ask me after the meeting. But my elders told me, Robert, you got to stop secretarying meetings. And I'm, what? Yeah, you got to stop secretarying meetings. I had 5-6 years. Dude, are you nuts or nothing? What am I supposed to do? And he goes, teach. Teach what? How many sponsors you got? How many people are you helping? And he goes, and I was like, what? He goes, teach them how to be a secretary. Teach them how to pick up cigarette butts. Show them what this is about. Help them to understand what we do to stay of service, what we do to stay out of self. Because when I did that third step prayer, I found out something about the third step prayer. And if you ever look at the third step prayer, it's on page 63, and it says, relieve me of the bondage of self. See, up until that point, it was all about Robert. And I had to get away from Robert and start learning how to stay clean and sober, you know, because I did have outside issues, you know. Anything and everything, you know, to this day, you know, it's like a potato chip. I can't eat just one. No way. It ain't going to happen. You know, I know that. Ask anybody. No, Alcoholics Anonymous has helped me to understand. Those steps helped me to understand. Learning how to take my own inventory has helped me to learn how to live a new life. For the newcomers, you know, it works. It really does, you know. You know, Jackson and Sean and Jeanette, welcome. You guys are in the right place. And if you need anything after the meeting, come see me. I got books. I got anything you need, you know, because that's what we do. You know, on Sunday, I'm taking off with a group of these alcoholics. We're going up to Agua Dulce to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous. You know? I get to go all over the place. I get to travel today. I get to read to newcomers who don't know how to read yet, you know, because their brains have been kind of warped. You know, I get to find out that resentment I had wasn't God. It was King Alcohol. King Alcohol took my dad. King Alcohol took everybody in my family. I'm the oldest of six, and I'm the only one alive. King Alcohol took them all. You know, I obsessed over King Alcohol. King Alcohol was my higher power. King Alcohol was everything. I lived for King Alcohol. I worshiped King Alcohol. My life was around King Alcohol. I had to let go of that. And the only way I could do that is by taking that deep inventory on my higher power and fire him. Fired him right there. He's the only person you can fire if you ever get a chance. You can't fire your sponsor. You don't work for him. And he's not on the payroll. So you can't fire something you ain't working for. You know, that's arrogant. He's there for a reason. You know, if you don't like what he has to say, talk to your elders. The elders know what we're doing in here. But you got to find them. They don't walk around with badges. They don't have badges. I'm an elder. Because if you call yourself an elder, guess what? You're not an elder. That's the way it rolls around. You know, it's you got to find Alcoholics Anonymous works. It works so much. I mean, I get to do 2-3 spiritual retreats every year. You know, what's a spiritual retreat? Well, we're going to have one, and you guys are more than welcome to show up, because I know some of you guys are going to be there. You know, we've already made that very clear. You know, that's going to be over here at Red Rock. Okay, we're going to go camping for 3-4 days. We're going to be cooking. We're going to do hiking. We're swimming. You know, everything you can do. And guess what else we're going to do? For 3 days, we're going to cover the steps, 1 through 12. For 3 days, we're going to pray. For 3 days, we're going to talk about different parts of spirituality. You know, the only way I found spirituality, the only way I found a higher power is in the great outdoors. In the great outdoors. Go figure that one out, you know. I found it out there, you know. They took me camping. And then after they took me camping, guess where else they took me? They took me to the beach. If you ever want to meet my higher power, you're more than welcome to go out there to the beach, find a nice place, relax, sit down, close your eyes for a minute, get quiet, get comfortable, and listen to him breathe. You're going to hear him breathe. But you got to go to the beach, and you got to do this. Okay, that's how I roll with this concept of a higher power. That's how I roll with the concept of spirituality. I'm not a religious man. I already made that clear. You know, I've learned to accept it, but I'm a spiritual man. I'm a spiritual man for a reason. You know, I found sobriety, and I found it in the wildest place. You know, I found it in the wildest place, right here. Right here. This is my home. These are my peoples. You're my peoples. You know, I ran with you guys when you didn't even know it. You know, there's a bunch of us out there. I don't care what state you go to, what country you go to, you're going to meet us. You know, we get to do so many cool things in this world, in sobriety. Not just going to an open discussion meeting. Those are important to find a newcomer. To me, those are important to find the newcomers. You know, that's what Bob and Bill did. You know, that's how they created it. You know, they realized that they had something, and they built a book. In 1939, they published it. But they made some mistakes in the book because they're just newcomers, and they're just trying to figure it out. So in the early mid-50s, they made another book. Okay, the second edition. And they made a 12 and 12. The 12 and 12 is probably the most important thing. You've heard of how it works, right? That's in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. But you ever wondered about the traditions? That's why it works. That's the important thing to understand about Alcoholics Anonymous. How it works and why it works. You know, that has saved me because I've had to learn how to grow in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a grow or go game for you guys. It's a grow or go game. I have to learn how to live in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I have to grow. You know, I've learned, and you guys have helped me in so many different ways. You know, you made me an IGR. Ooh. I had to go find out what that meant. You know? They go to the central office and they find out all the cool things we're going to be doing for 2025. And then they come back and they explain that to their groups, you know. I mean, on February 15th, we're going to have a chili cook-off. And you're all welcome. You know, it's a district cook-off for the whole district. You know, you either can go bring your chili and show it off and maybe get a hat, or you could go there, make a donation, and eat all the chili you can. You know, it's a lot of fun. You get to meet your district, you get to meet your lot of friends, and you get to do a lot of different things like that. That's what we do today. You know, I get to go in April. We're going to do another spiritual retreat over here at Hertz Castle. There's about several hundred of us over there. And when we say God, it's so loud, even, what's his name, flips over. Huh? And it's just amazing to do Alcoholics Anonymous for you guys. You know, jump in the middle. Don't wait outside. Jump in the middle. Find out what we're doing. And then, you know, you might even become a GSR. What's a GSR? He's a general service. You get into a whole new area of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not just in Lompoc. It's not just in Santa Maria and Solvang. This is our district, you know. Los Alamos, Solvang, Santa Maria, Orcutt. This is our district. In our district, I get to go represent you guys at the area level. I get to go out there, and you guys send me. I know you guys are doing a collection for Jonathan, I think it is, your GSR. And me and him and a few others are going to go to Alaska for a PASA. What is PASA? You know, holy cow. We get to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous at a deep level. You guys hear about stuff. There was a lot of controversy recently. You know, I don't know if you guys heard about it, but it was called about the Plain Language Big Book. All of a sudden, it just woke up a bunch of old-timers, and they were sitting there going, you're going to change the book. Whoa, hang on. Here we go. It's going to be a good ride. You know, the book is right there. All that book is, it's not replacing the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Like the 12 and 12, all it is a little bit more information on what and who and where, you know, why. You know, these are important things to understand. You know, these are important things to understand. Who, what, where, and why. You know, because do you know about Abby Thatcher? Who Abby Thatcher is? Do you understand why Bill started Alcoholics Anonymous? You know, do you understand why when my sponsor, and I'm telling my sponsor, he goes, what are you doing for the newcomer? You know, what are you doing for your home group? You know, what are you doing in Alcoholics Anonymous? You know, because if you read in the big book, it says when I get out of the problem and into the solution, the problem goes away. And because of that, I know I'm a real alcoholic. You know, so what am I doing to get out of the problem? What am I doing to get into the solution? What am I doing to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers? These are the things that changed my life. These are the things that helped me beyond anything I can imagine. You know that little boy I was telling you about? My son? I had 16 and a half years sobriety, and he looked over at me. He was the lead bouncer at Harry's because he wanted to be like the old dad. He didn't want this dad. He wanted that dad. So he's the lead bouncer in Harry's. He realizes, damn, he's going to get it. He's going to get the 17 and a half years. And we talk. When he gets 17 and a half years, we're going to have this talk. So he died. King Alcohol took him. Oh, yeah. You know? King Alcohol took him. And just like Bill, guess what I did? 5 minutes after I was told he died, guess what I did?
I found a newcomer,
and I've been latched onto them ever since. I've been latched onto them even before. There's some in this room, and there's some out there that blow your mind. They do things beyond your wildest dreams. They even make me cry sometimes. No man, no woman ever made me cry when I was drinking and using. No. I had to be the man of the house. I had to drink like the man of the house, and I had to act like the man of the house. And I had to make sure that things went my way. You know, I had to make sure that you did what I told you to do. You know, today I don't have to live that way. Today I can live a life that is beyond anything I can imagine to tell you. You got to jump in. You got to grab the book. You got to open it up, and you got to figure it out. A sponsor is there to answer your questions.
He's not there to tell you what to do. Because you know what we've learned over the years? If you're a real alcoholic like me, you can tell him anything you want. Just don't expect him to do it. Because if you tell me what to do, I guess what? It ain't happening. It ain't happening. I have to make my own decisions. I have to make my own decisions. That's what step three is all about. Making a decision to do this no matter what. No matter what. And I do it one day at a time. You know, I had to go out to other 12-step programs because I'm a real alcoholic. And I'm sponsoring a lot of you newcomers. And so I walked into this program and said, my name's Robert, I'm the enemy. And they says, sit down, Robert. Welcome, congratulations. And when I got up and left, they handed me a hula hoop. Because it was Al-Anon, and they taught me how to live in my own hula hoop. You know, you make your own decisions. You do your own game. You know, I had to struggle with my character defects, and they took me to, those elders took me to ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, a lot of things out there that helped me. I'm a real alcoholic. Alcoholics Anonymous is my foundation, but I've had to learn everything about it. And for the newcomer, I hope you keep coming back, and I hope you're willing to learn everything you can about your disease, about Alcoholics Anonymous, and why we do this one day at a time. You know, there's so many good things going on in this world in Alcoholics Anonymous and so many other ways to go. You know, I can't even explain to you, you know. Some of the things that I was writing down here. You know, January 9th of 2026, I got a phone call. Hey, Robert, what? You want to speak? Yeah, sure, where? Well, we're going on a cruise ship, and we're going to be gone for 10 days, and we want you to run the Alcoholics Anonymous, the Clean and Sober Cruise. And guess what? I get to be the speaker, and I get to run with it, and it's not going to cost me a penny. They've already paid for my trip, you know, and you're welcome to come. You know, I have some flyers. I'll leave them with you guys, you know. I get to go to Prasa. You know, Sunday I get to go to Agua Dulce. You know, I get to go to an international convention in June. And there's 75,000 alcoholics holding hands saying the Serenity Prayer. You want a trip out? Go check that out. I've been to several of them. I spoke at the one in Toronto. You know, I stood up there just like this. And there was about 20,000 people in that room at the time. You know, you got to remember I told you when I walked in, I was, I couldn't speak and I couldn't talk and I couldn't read, you know. Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me how to read. Alcoholics Anonymous is teaching me how to be of service. Alcoholics Anonymous is teaching me how to talk. Alcoholics Anonymous has given me an opportunity to give back to the community. You know, I'm in a car club. You know, we do cool things. We do really cool things. You know, we go to the schools and we teach the kids. There's more to life than just drinking and using. You can find a trade. You can be a mechanic. You can be an electrician. You can be a welder. You can do this. You can do that. And we teach them how to do it. You know, those journeymen that taught me, I got to teach them. That's what we do today, you know. Today, you know, those journeymen today in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know what we call them? Do you know what we call a journeyman in Alcoholics Anonymous? Sponsor. It's the same game. They teach. If you find one and he's willing to teach, grab him and don't let go. Don't let go, you know, because he's not here to be your daddy and your mommy. He's here to help you understand how to pick up cigarette butts, how to wash that coffee cup. You know, what is a secretary? What's a GSR? What's an IGR? You know, I force it a lot. I'm not a social butterfly. I'm a Harry's bar and drinker kind of guy. You know, that was my life. You know, that was my life. But I forced this because I've come to believe that you guys can restore me to sanity, and I'm going to do it one day at a time. And this is proof in the pudding. You know, I've learned that the Freedom Group is like my second house. I come up here, I go to the coffee shop over here. I do all kinds of things. I like to watch the Rockets. Been there sober, clean. We're all sitting over there in the bush, in those field over there. Trip out, you know. I get to do a lot of crazy things, you know. You see a couple of Harleys out there, you know. You go into Laughlin with 50,000 bikers, trucking 100 miles an hour, 100 plus, and they're not all clean and sober, but there's a bunch of them that are clean and sober. And you go to a meeting with them over there in Bullhead City. Unbelievable. I get to experience Alcoholics Anonymous all over the world. You know, I've been in Germany with Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been in Canada. I've been in Mexico. The trippiest thing about all those different countries is you're going to meet a bunch of us over there. And they can't come back. They can't come back to the United States. They're living over there forever. You know, they had to do a geographic. You know, they got out on parole. They got on a plane, and they got out of Dodge, and they can't come back. That's what you find out there. You know? So I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I will do whatever it takes if you want to get sober. I will drive all the way up here. I've done it. You know, some of you know that. You know? I've done it all over because of some newcomers you have here. They finally got tired and went back out, but I didn't care. I stayed sober, you know? And guess what? The beautiful thing that I've learned over and over and over again. When they do hit that bottom, guess who they're going to call? Me. Because I didn't tell them what to do. They're real alcoholics. You tell a real alcoholic what to do, and guess what? You just shot him. You know? Tell him who his higher power is, and you just shot him again. You know, we allow the newcomers to find our center with yourself, without a bottle, without a drink, and life gets better. You know, there's some proof right here. Just look around. You know, Karen and Derek, I really appreciate you guys. This was a trip. I enjoy coming up here and talking, but I always like coming up here and talking. You guys are a lot of fun. You know, Freedom Group, everybody knows about the Freedom Group. Everybody. I don't care where you go in this district. Everybody knows about the Freedom Group. So you guys just keep doing what you're doing because it's working, and it's working in more than you think. And thank you all for letting me be of service. Thank you for letting me come up here and share my experience, strength, and hope. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's have another round of applause for our speaker.